You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is an investigative reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek and Bloomberg News, also a former national fellow at New America. We've wanted to talk about this for a very long time. Crypto is the topic. Zeke Fox is our guest. Good morning, Zeke. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This, again, as I mentioned, this is something we've wanted to talk about for a really long time. It's been hard finding someone who does not have a vested interest in crypto to talk about crypto. So that's why we're really glad Tucker found you for us to talk to. Let's start just with the basics, Zeke, of what is crypto?
So when Bitcoin was invented by like a person or group called Satoshi Nakamoto, the pitch was sort of that this would be an alternative currency, something that we'd use instead of dollars, but that wouldn't be controlled by the government. That was now like 15 years ago, and people pretty much don't use Bitcoin for anything. Crypto's turned into kind of a investment vehicle, and there's like millions of different cryptocurrencies, each with a different pitch. But in general, the hope of the people who buy them is that they're going to, whatever it is, they're going to buy it, it's going to go up a lot, and they're going to get rich.
And that is essentially it. Because as you said, Zeke, there is no exchange to spend your crypto dollars. This isn't a widespread thing where businesses are accepting crypto. That's not where we are. This is just essentially betting on the outcome of these crypto coins. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. And some of them represent very similar to stock in companies. Other ones are sort of like networks that where people can launch different projects, and a ton of them are just scams. But the main activity in crypto is betting on these different coins. And, you know, if you pick the right one, we all know people who actually have gotten rich on them. But my take is that if you're not an insider, if you're just hearing about this from your friend, you're probably kind of late to the game, and somebody else has already set it up so that they're going to make money and you're not.
It feels like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Bitcoin in particular, which is still the biggest and most popular cryptocurrency, it really is a lot like a pyramid. Like at first, it was just kind of like weird nerds who liked to invest in it. And then people saw that it was going up, and that drew in more people. And this is something that Bitcoin advocates will even talk about openly. The title of my book, Number Go Up, mm-hmm. came from something that I heard a Bitcoin guy say at a conference, and he was like, number go up technology is a very powerful piece of technology. It's the price. When the price goes up, it draws people in. The more people come in, the more the price goes up, and then more people come in. And like I was sitting there, I'm thinking, this doesn't sound like technology. Like you said, it sounds like a pyramid scheme.
It does.
But it's been very powerful. The price right now, last couple weeks, Bitcoin price has dropped quite a bit, but it's still at $86,000 per coin. It's still crazy high.
My goodness.
So the pyramid has gotten really, really big. And last year, Bitcoiners did something very clever to bring in a powerful new base to the pyramid. What that was that they got together. A couple years ago, Donald Trump had been calling Bitcoin a scam against the dollar.
It was bad.
But these Bitcoiners, they got together, a few dozen of them, and they realized that if they all donated the maximum to the Trump campaign, which is something like 844,000 between Trump and like various campaign committees, that they could have a real influence on its policies. And these guys, through a fundraiser for Trump, they raised a total of $20 or $30 million. It was at their big annual convention in Nashville, and they got Trump to come in. They gave him, they threw the fundraiser. He walked out on stage and he said, Bitcoin's going to the moon.
I love
Bitcoin. The United States will lead the way.
Yeah.
This was the same thing we saw with EVs and Tesla before the election. It was EVs are the worst. They're terrible. They're everything that's bad about renewable energy. And then as soon as someone came with a checkbook that cleared, he said, I love this. This is amazing. And had we talked to you, Zeke, like 6 months ago, maybe like a little bit more, we wanted to talk just about like this, the idea of crypto, and what you opened with is just those discussions and how they affect us. But now the conversation is where we're at right at this moment, which is how this juggernaut, this movement that's not going away anytime soon, is now being put into the halls of power. And it's really just about saying, well, I mean, and in that, in the research that was given, the situation with, and Xie Zhao, who was pardoned, part of Binance, and they gave money, or they gave equipment and software to this Trump crypto business. And that in and of itself is very concerning.
This is a crazy situation. We can just call him CZ. That's what everyone in crypto calls him, and it's easier. He is the richest guy in crypto. He owns an exchange called Binance. And this is like, you know, if crypto is like a big casino, like this is where you go to gamble. And it's the biggest one in the whole world. And he just got out of prison last year. Binance paid a $4 billion. Basically not being picky at all about who it let use as exchange. Like they were looking the other way while terrorists, people...
bad actors,
all sorts of bad actors were using it to move money. And so they paid this big fine. He went to, he served a short time in prison. And when he got out, he, or his exchange Binance, started helping Trump out in a different way, which is like you're saying, Trump actually, in addition to deregulating crypto, he's got his own or several of his own crypto ventures. One of them called World Liberty got key help from Binance. I mean, it's not easy to stand out among the millions of crypto projects that are starting. And then after Binance helped World Liberty, Trump pardoned CZ.
Nothing to see here. No connections whatsoever. Completely unrelated. Yes, completely unrelated.
That is what both sides say. And when Trump was asked about it, he said, I don't even know who CZ is.
Yeah.
And he said that his sons had maybe suggested it would be a good idea to pardon him. His sons are the ones who are in charge of World Liberty.
But again, no connections here. There's nothing. No, just ignore this.
Yeah.
Just pretend this isn't happening. It's all good. It's all good. Just trust me. It's all good. Zeke Fox is our guest. He is an investigative reporter with a Bloomberg Business Week and also Bloomberg News, and has a book called Number Goes Up.
Number Go Up, yep.
No, Number Go Up, and we're talking about crypto, and where we are now is so different than where we were 15 years ago, like you said, Zeke, when we started. When crypto first came around, it was kind of a side little, you know, not going to affect the most of us. Like you said, these are nerds. It was a very specific group of people, and now it is pretty much mainstreamed. And yet it still is, to me, a questionable period scheme, a pyramid scheme.
A Ponzi scheme, actually.
Scheme, which allows people to launder money.
I mean, the thing that's pretty wild to me is, when Uber came out, I was very skeptical of Uber. I was like, I like taxis. I'll never get in an Uber. But within a few years, I realized that, in fact, Uber would come to Brooklyn where I live. Taxis really hated it, and Uber was great. And I ride Uber all the time. Crypto has become very popular without offering any consumer product that people like. They're great at creating this idea that crypto is going mainstream. But the only thing that's really going mainstream is gambling on crypto. Well, like, that's the consumer product.
And that's the thing that hits me the when I think about this topic, because when you talk about the beginnings, it's about people who are like engineers and doing the research and figuring out how to do this. Now you can just simply say, hey, I got this really great Bitcoin or this great crypto. Do you want to get in on this? It's going to be huge. And that's all you need to say to people. And their eyes light up with dollar signs, because that's the society we live in, is get in, get rich, get quick, get out and make your millions.
And
because we hear those stories all the time. But what we don't hear are the people who have those millions and billions usually have the game rigged in a certain sense. And Zeke, one of the things I'd always heard, and as you mentioned when you came on, is that the big attraction to it is that it was deregulated. It was not centralized, and now it's getting into bed with government and governments. So what does that say for what do people who got into it, say, 15 years ago think about that? It's kind of maybe getting away from the original belief system that it was started with.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people who are serious about crypto would acknowledge that, but they see what Trump's doing as kind of a almost like a helpful conflict of interest, because under Biden, the stock exchange regulator, the Securities Exchange Commission, sort of towards the end of his term, had filed all these lawsuits against the biggest players in crypto, and they were basically saying, if I'm going to boil it down, that most of what went on in crypto was illegal. Like, mm-hmm. You can't just trade all these coins like crazy. There's rules that govern investments. And the Trump administration has wiped all of that out. They've dropped all the lawsuits. They've been issuing pardons, and they're pushing new laws that would legitimize the crypto trading markets. So even if the, like, you know, cypherpunk old school crypto guys have some objections to government getting involved like this, they're just so happy that the industry is being deregulated that they haven't really been speaking up. Yeah.
That makes total sense. I guess. I mean, Zeke, one of the things that, you know, we wanted to talk about was the fact that, you know, I personally don't do crypto. I don't think I ever will do crypto, but it's important to have these conversations, especially now, because, as you know, 6 months ago, it was just about getting to know crypto and the good and the bad. But now it's really about the ugly and it's being in bed with government and how it can directly affect the people who don't actually invest either.
Well, and I've also seen some stories, Zeke, and we're going to come up against a break in just a little bit, so we'll continue on the other side. But I've seen articles about some municipalities are talking about investing like their teachers' pensions in crypto, which seems like a really, really, really bad idea.
Well, you may even hold investments in crypto without knowing it. A lot of cryptocurrency companies are on the stock exchange now, mm-hmm. and then they get into index funds, which you might just naturally have as part of your retirement accounts.
Duh. We're going to continue our conversation with Zeke Fox. He's an investigative reporter with a Bloomberg Business Week and also Bloomberg News, and the author of a book,
Number Go Up.
Lots to talk about. We're talking crypto. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking all about crypto this morning. Our guest is Zeke Fox, an investigative reporter for Bloomberg Business Week and Bloomberg News, also the author of Number Go Up, a book about Sam Bankman-Friedman and FTX, which was a collapse of a crypto company. Zeke, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. This is something we wanted to talk about for a long time. I did talk to someone a number of months ago who is a broker, and we were talking about crypto, and I said, you know, I said, crypto seems sketchy to me. It seems a little immoral. And he said, but there's a market for it. He said, morality aside, there's a market for it. Okay. That doesn't mean it's not immoral and it's not used for money laundering. It just means there's a market for it.
For sure. I mean, I think that the most honest pitch for crypto is that if you, what the crypto guys would say is that this is sort of the future of the financial system, the future of money. It's like a software update for the way that we move money and invest. Now, they're probably wrong, but if they're right, then at least some cryptocurrencies would be very valuable. So like what you're gambling on is just this small possibility that maybe they're right and this is the future. And that's sort of what gets you that FOMO, where you're like, what if this is the future and I don't get in on it?
Right.
And
yeah.
For my book, what I did was I spent a couple of years going all around the world talking to all of the top guys in crypto, and I would basically just ask them, well, what is this good for? Like, what is your project good for? Who's using it? And I got so many unsatisfactory answers.
Really?
Involved, I bet. Let me dance away from that one.
Well, and a lot of them were semi-openly running Ponzi schemes. There was one that was popular for a while called Step-In, and you had to buy digital shoes, and then using your health tracker app, it would measure how much you moved, and then it would pay you in green Satoshi tokens. And the shoes got to be very valuable, like $1,000, because people really wanted to earn these tokens. And I asked the founder, and he said, I was like, what do you say to people who, you know, call this like a Ponzi scheme? And he said, hey, I'm not doing a Ponzi scheme. These guys are doing it to themselves.
I'm not doing it. They're doing it.
It was just kind of true because it was like a naturally forming bubble in crypto shoe prices. And I saw this pattern repeat itself again and again. The Philippines was kind of an early adopter of crypto. And this game took off there called Axie Infinity. It was basically like Pokemon, but you had to buy your monsters with crypto, and then you would earn a different cryptocurrency when you won battles. And this got so big, there were millions of people playing it. People were quitting their jobs, playing it full time. People started renting their monsters to other people who would pay for the privilege of having, of playing this game. And I went there and I talked to the patient zero of this craze. This guy at one point had like 100 people working for him in his town. By the time I got there, of course, the whole thing had collapsed. You can't, everyone just can't get rich off nothing. You can't all, the crypto guys were promoting this. They said it was like a new way of work that would help people around the third world.
No.
I talked with people who had taken out car loans to buy monsters, who were just totally devastated by this. But these kinds of things have some appeal, like this idea of getting rich quick. A lot of people like it.
But there's always someone at the top who's making money.
Yeah. And excuse me just for one second. I'm going to go bash my head against the wall. I'll be right back.
Okay. There she's gone. She's gone. She's bashing her head against the wall right now. I can literally hear it right now. I mean, but that's the thing is like while things are collapsing and people are losing their livelihood and their money and all those things, there's always someone, though, or a group at the top who is feeding off of these individuals who think, I'll quit my day job and do this full time, whatever that is, or I will invest in crypto and just live off of the interest because crypto is the next big thing and we can all get rich. It's decentralized. It's, you know, it's everyone is equal, but it's not. There's always someone or a group up top who is pulling the strings. And that's what some of the things you cover in your book, the whole Sam Bankman-Fried thing is, was a big Ponzi scheme, and now he's looking for a pardon.
Yes, you know, a bunch of crypto guys have gotten pardons, and SBF is hoping he'll get
be
one
next.
Too.
Yeah.
The problem for him is that he was pretty publicly identified as a liberal. He was a big donor to Democratic candidates, and he advocated for crypto regulation. So he doesn't have a lot of fans in the crypto industry who are going to press his case with Trump.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty long shot. He's appealing his case in court too, But what he basically did was he was like CZ. He had an exchange. It was a place where he went to gamble on crypto. People sent in $8 billion to, you know, buy chips to gamble at his crypto casino. And he just stole all the money out the back and went to gamble on other stuff.
See how easy that is?
Yeah.
Just works just like that. Zeke Fox is an investigative reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek, also Bloomberg News, and the author of Number Go Up. We will include links to your book and also to your work with Bloomberg. Zeke Fox, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really, really appreciate it.
Great talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. News is next, and when we return, we'll lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to Zeke Fox, who joined us from Bloomberg, talking about crypto. If you didn't have a chance to listen to it, I would encourage you to check it out. You can go to civicmedia.us. Click on shows at the very top, go to Matt Nair on Air, and click on that. And that will take you to about 2 months worth of previous shows. Really interesting conversation if you have questions about crypto and what it is. And it's a scam. That's just me. But it was very informational, and it's something we wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I look forward to more conversations about that because, as we mentioned, you know, a year ago, it was about just what is crypto? Now it is fully has its claws in our American government.
It does.
In our stock market, in your investments, whether you know it
or not.
So yeah. It's important to be aware of what's going on, even if you're not investing.
Yep, absolutely. This is a portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, talk about other things so we don't crack up. Reggae legend Jimmy Cliff has died.
Indeed.
At the age of 81. Incredible life, came from very challenging circumstances, born in Jamaica, beloved proponent of reggae music, and really brought reggae to the world.
Between him and Bob Marley.
And he was even pre-Bob Marley, I believe.
Yeah.
But we wanted to honor Jimmy Cliff, who had so many songs about hope and overcoming the odds and finding joy, which is a big thing we push on this program. So we wanted to hear about songs that make you happy, songs that elevate your mood, songs that make you feel better whenever you hear them. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's celebrate Jimmy Cliff and his attitude towards life. Songs that make you happy, songs that elevate your mood at 855-752-4842. That's today's Audio Sorbet.
What about you? How about you? It's
an old, boring trope, but
what?
I still love Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
There's nothing
that will always make me happy.
You can't say what are the songs that bring you joy and happiness and be like,
and then I have to qualify it.
These are the songs that no matter what, just give you a pep in your step or just make you feel good or
just makes me feel better when I hear that song.
Oh, there it is. For the longest time, I thought this was The Pretenders.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah. But doesn't it just make you want to dance? Come on.
it makes you like either do a good step or just shake your shoulders.
Or just do some chair dancing.
There you go. There you go.
It's a good chair dancing song, Katrina and the Waves. What makes you happy? What song brings you joy? What song will elevate your mood? That is our Audio Sorbet question for today at 855-752-4842. Al from Campbellsport is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
What's your song?
My song is Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
Oh, there it is. That's a good song.
That was the year I graduated from high school.
Just brings back good memories?
Oh, yeah.
It's a song that brings back good memories. Which is about good memories.
Good memories.
Exactly.
Hey, whatever works for you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there is no wrong answer.
No.
There's doesn't even have to be a song that's about happiness. It can just be a song that takes you to, you know, brings you a little bit of nostalgia, brings you back to the day a little bit, makes you smile. There it is.
Here we go.
The Canadian pop king, Bryan Adams.
Kind of underrated, too, I think, absolutely. Bryan Adams.
Well, I mean, he had, like, hit after hit after hit, and then sort of like Steve Miller, gone.
Just kind of went away.
But he's still very much celebrated, still tours, people adore him, so that's a great song.
Thanks so much, Al. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Songs that make you happy, songs that bring you joy, songs that will bring you out of a bad mood. That is our audio sorbet question for today to honor Jimmy Cliff, who has passed away at the age of 81. He, of course, had I Can See Clearly Now, mm-hmm. Wonderful World, Beautiful People, just all kinds of really upbeat songs.
Yeah, and he also, like, he was a purveyor of the early days of ska and rock study music, which, I mean, you know what ska is. You've heard it. You might not know.
You may not be able to define it.
It's more of a rocking type of reggae. Nowadays, you hear a lot with college students playing, like, it's more like hard, more punk. Lots of horns, very, not to say aggressive, but the stuff that he did and that came like a generation after two-tone is really the great ska music, because it's just, you're bopping just, your body, you're right. Listening, and you can dance without knowing how to dance at all, which is
we
something I'm adept at.
We love those.
Good shoulder movement in this guy right here.
Oh, nice, nice shoulder action, especially the left one. 855-752-4842. Looking for your feel-good songs. In honor of Jimmy Cliff today, Matt in Dane County texting in, Here Comes the Sun.
There it is, yeah.
From George Harrison. Yeah. Absolutely love that one.
Yeah, that one, I will say that one, that is actually the song that, for me, that I picked.
That's
yours? Yeah, that's the one I picked. And seriously, when you hear this opening guitar, I get goosebumps every time, and it literally will say, like, all right, here comes the sun. Every day it comes around. Every day your life goes on if you're lucky enough to live it. It will be okay. You will move on and you will find whatever you need to be happy. So don't worry in the moment. Sun's here. It'll be here tomorrow. So will you.
All right.
That's how I feel when I hear this song.
I'm going home now.
Because George Harrison, there was just an infinite amount of, there was joy in him, but there was also this, we'll get through it. We're all in this together and we'll
work our way through it.
We can work it out. They should have wrote a song about that.
That might have been a really good song. 855-752-4842. Songs that make you happy. Songs that get you out of a bad mood. We are celebrating the life. Cliff has passed away at the age of 81. Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids says Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell.
There you go. That's a good one. That's a fun one.
Brett in Brown Deer, listening on WAUK, Night Moves by Bob Seger reminds me of being a kid leaving home for the first time. By the way, I love Jimmy Cliff. I painted his portrait. Cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's cool.
Joe on the live stream says, Tears for Fears, Sowing the Seeds of Love. That's a great song. That's a big anthemic song.
I don't know that song.
Oh, I think you know that song. I think
Calvin, find that song.
Sowing the Seeds of Love, yeah. And then he also said Boston's rock and roll band, Hall & Oates, Private. I love the song Private Eyes by, because Private Eyes are watching you. They see your every move. That was my impression of William Shatner doing Hall & Oates. Private Eyes are watching you.
Oh, I'm following. Songs that get you in a good mood, songs that bring you joy, 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton on the line. All right, Cindy, what you got?
Well, there's so many of them, but one that comes to mind is Tina Turner's We Don't Need Another Hero.
Okay. Yeah, that's another real anthemic.
Very much so.
Raise your fist in the air and like, yeah.
Well, and that was the whole second part of Tina's career where she was amazing. Yeah. She was amazing.
Exactly.
Incredible
yeah.
woman. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate it. Northwoods Terry is on the line next. Good morning, Terry. What's your song that gets you out of a bad mood?
The Hooters and We Danced, I think is the title. Right around 1984, 85, somewhere in there.
The band is called the Hooters or Hootie and the Blowfish?
The Hooters.
The Hooters.
There it is. Yeah. Very 80s. Can hear that keyboard, baby.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Love it,
yeah.
Terry. Thank you so much.
Jenny on the live stream says, Come on, Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order. Groove is in the Heart by Delight. You can't not like Groove Is in the Heart, that one just, you know that one too. You know it. You know it. You just like that. It's a thing of like, oh, that's the
once
song.
Once I hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And Gallen's furiously searching.
And then Young Americans by David Bowie. That one is just a great song too, because that big drum opening and you're just like, you want to just sway and dance and, oh, good song. Good songs.
Songs that make you happy. Songs that bring you out of a bad mood. Liz from Saukville on WAUK. You can get it if you really want.
Groove Is in the Heart.
Never heard it.
You have heard this song.
I've never heard this song.
Jane, you've worked in radio for 7,000 years. You've heard this song. Okay. I'm not. No, I don't. I don't accept that answer. I think you're just being. I think you're being obstinate for the fun of it. No, but yeah, that's definitely a good song, especially if you go to a wedding. Everyone hits the dance floor when that song comes on.
All right. What are songs that get you out of a bad mood, make you happy? Jimmy Cliff has passed away at the age of 81, who sang I Can See Clearly Now and so many other upbeat songs that were hopeful about overcoming obstacles. What is your song at 855-752-4842? Jay in Eau Claire, listening on WCFW. Otis Redding, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
That's a good one.
That is a excellent song.
That's a great one.
Roger Stevens Point, Heat Wave by Linda Ronstadt.
Wow. That's a
blast from the past.
I love Linda Ronstadt. She's someone I feel like we also don't talk about enough. She was huge.
She was huge.
I just feel like it's still, she's one of those voices like Ann Wilson from Heart. We should always be talking about those two when it comes to singing big rock music.
Didn't necessarily get enough credit.
Exactly.
That they should have.
I agree.
Stacy in Waukesha talking about songs that get you in a good mood or get you out of a bad mood. Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I did pull one of the songs that brings me joy. And what's funny is that's by the same band on the same album, but it's for like different reasons. And that is, Calvin, can you play that other song? It's just a beautiful love song.
It is a beautiful love song.
It's written by George Harrison, but Frank Sinatra said it was his favorite Lennon McCartney song because the Beatles
were. Frank?
He sang this song live, and he would always say it's his favorite Lennon McCartney song. He had no idea that George Harrison wrote it, and who's going to tell him he's wrong? Please.
Yeah, no one's going to tell Blue Eyes. Yeah, nobody's going to tell Blue Eyes that. Robert or Maureen from Richland Center, listening on WLCX, says Happy Together by the Turtles. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Calvin, do you have any songs that bring you? I know you are feverishly working at the board right now trying to find music, but is there any music that, you know, a long day at work, you turn on when you're driving home, or you just sit there while you're playing video games you want to listen to?
You know, I'm kind of drawing a little bit of a blank right now. This is a song that Greg will know, but probably literally no one else will know. Do You Want to Taste It by Wigwam? It was the theme song to the first season of a show called Peacemaker that me and Greg are both a fan of. And yeah, it's a really fun song.
It's a very fun song. And if for nothing else, just watch the opening credits of Peacemaker, both seasons. There is a choreographed dance routine that is done that is both weird but also wonderful. So
weird and wonderful.
Yeah, that show's got a very eclectic hair metal hard rock soundtrack from bands that you've never heard of, but it's very, very fun. Peacemaker. I'm not paid by big comic book, but watch it.
Sure, I believe you.
Okay.
We're taking your calls and your texts about songs that make you happy, songs that get you out of a bad mood. Sean in Madison, listening on WAUK, I'm so glad you said this. I melt with you, Modern English.
There it is, yeah.
That is a great, great song.
Another one of those songs where I thought it was The Cure for the longest time.
Oh, the Modern English?
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. 855-752-4842. Real quickly, we got about a minute left. I believe Whistler is on the phone from Richland Center. Good morning, Whistler. What's your song?
Hey, Jane. I got to go with the Who and Magic Bus.
Magic Bus.
There you go.
All right. We're going to ride on the Magic Bus. Thank you, Whistler. Thank you, everybody, for taking part in today's Audio Sorbet. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. It's a good one. Saved by the Bell edition. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow will be here, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Mm-hmm. He's also going to join us on Thanksgiving.
That's right. We are going to be live on Thanksgiving this Thursday. We will have a beautifully brand new, I don't want to say curated, it was just a brand new show for you on Friday. It will be pre-recorded. You can hear it on Black Friday. It's going to be a great, great, we're going to have great guests.
We do have great guests.
We're going to have we're going to have Sean Fetteplays and Lisa Schiller and Corrine Hendrickson talking about small business, talking about what to look for in holiday scams. But it's just going to be a great time on Friday. And then Thursday, we are here live from 9 to 11. And I'm so excited to have Pat Kreitlow on the show as well, twice in a week.
I know. He's batching it. He said his wife is a doctor, and she picked up a shift. So he's going to be batching it for Thanksgiving.
Are you some bachelor?
Bachelor. Yeah, batching.
I've never heard that before. Batching to me sounds like you're like making cookies or something.
That is not a different batch.
Okay, I guess you're just making up words now.
So, anyway, Pat Kreitlow will be here at some point on Thanksgiving Day. And if you... You know, when you're in the kitchen and you're getting your dinner together, whatever, join us. And it should be a lot of fun. We're going to have a fun show on Thursday. Pat will be here tomorrow after the 9:30 news. Dr. Kristen Lierley also going to be joining us in hour number two tomorrow. Many, many, many things to talk about.
Yeah.
Including, I am seeing from some Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin, now they're worried about our water, but it's not about PFAS.
I don't even... Yeah.
They're So that's
is it turning us liberal?
No. But they're not worried about PFAS. They're worried about something else in their water. So that and much more with Dr. Lierley coming up tomorrow. Right now though, Calvin, we are approaching 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the Associated Press, and the headline reads, Woman found alive in coffin after being brought in for cremation. This is from Bangkok. A woman in Thailand shocked temple staff when she started moving in her coffin after being brought in for cremation. This Buddhist temple posted a video on its Facebook page showing the woman lying in a white coffin in the back of a pickup, moving her arms and head, leaving staff bewildered. The temple's general and financial affairs manager told the Associated Press the 65-year-old woman's brother drove him to the temple to be cremated when they heard a knock coming from the coffin. Quote, I was a bit surprised, so I asked them to open the coffin and everyone was startled. I saw her opening her eyes slightly and knocking on the side of the coffin. She must have been knocking for quite some time. Unquote.
Two things. One, when do I get to have that kind of sleep?
Right.
When do I get to have that kind of sleep where someone's like, he's done, I guess. He's good. And when I hear this story, all I'm getting hints and notes and reminders of, Calvin, can you please play that clip for me?
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your nine puts.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. He'll be stone dead in a moment.
That's exactly what I'm hearing all day long.
The brother said his sister had been ill for about 2 years, and then she started getting worse. She appeared to stop breathing 2 days ago. Appeared. At that point, he put her in a coffin, drove 300 miles.
Oh my God.
To Bangkok, to where the woman had wanted to donate her organs. The hospital refused to accept the brother's offer. Yeah, as he didn't have an official death certificate. He went to that particular temple because they offer free cremations, which is why he went there. But because, he doesn't have that death certificate, he was refused.
I'm sorry, sir. We have a strict policy that we cannot take organs if they're clearly still in use.
And
call it being persnickety, call it being technical, but we We fell for it once. Never again.
The temple manager said while he was explaining to the brother how to get a death certificate, that's when they heard the knocking from the coffin.
Oh, it's just my car. It's old.
At which point they assessed her and sent her to a nearby hospital. I have a feeling she's probably not going to go back and live with her brother.
I don't think so at all. But, you know, hey, at least he was trying to fulfill her wishes.
Yeah, before she
what
was.
What a good. Brothers are the best. I bet you he was a younger brother, too.
Yeah,
Us younger brothers, we're saints.
Yeah, just don't get enough credit, dude. That wraps up today's
episode. I got to go pick up my sister.
Wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Wow. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. Have a wonderful day. We will be back with you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.